Well, hey, everybody. This is Dave. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Dave.
Thanks for your promptness. I really appreciate all your responses, and based on that, we have a full agenda. And here are just some highlights before we do a check-in and wins and success stories. One is Katie Snap wants to present the group with a question just for a kind of a brief group consultation. Jamie Meyer wants to talk for a moment about the wellness certifying exam. I want to talk a little bit about the brain science of story because I think there's an aspect of it that I think can be of interest. And then thank you for the volunteers. We're going to do, based on the sort of popular request, a coaching demo. So that'll be a new deal for us here. And then I want to talk a little bit about some upcoming stuff and what we may do next vendor group. So first, what you got? Wins? Success stories? Who wants to check in?
Hi, Dave. This is Audrey from Virginia.
Welcome. Hey, how are you?
Good.
What you got? Any wins, progress notes?
No, it's just a complicated case, but maybe we'll discuss that as part of the demo. I have a new client that have all the problems of financial, health, wellness, just everything.
Okay.
And
we will also have a if that's what you're going to discuss for the demo coaching.
Yes.
That's great. Okay, we'll do that then. And remember, we're going to have 15 minutes, so this will be a laser coaching session. So, you know, pick what is right at the top for that, just so
okay.
That we can focus. So thanks, and thanks for volunteering and being first to volunteer. Who else? Audrey,
hi, Dave.
Go
it's
ahead
Sharon.
And
can
talk
you hear
about
me?
What you are doing with your book. Can you just give us a brief synopsis in just a couple of sentences about where you are with your new book?
Well, my new book, I'm a psychiatrist, and I have a background in acting and modeling, and I'm also what they call a pioneer. So I grew up in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. My background and my acting and modeling work, it contributes to how I treat my patients. So for my residency, a lot of my professors noticed that I was able to make non-compliant patients compliant using creativity. And just recently, some of my colleagues asked me, could I teach them about how to do that, do different workshops. And I said, I need to take this further. Maybe I could get into medical school and see if I could teach these different workshops. And I wrote a book. And, Dave, I really appreciate it because you helped me with the brain science of how a patient become compliant. And it's very helpful.
Well, it's the least I can do because I couldn't add to the acting and the modeling. You surpassed me there totally.
Right. So I have a presentation in San Diego, University of California School of Medicine. That's coming up in July. And also I'm supposed to meet with the director of the University of the Medical College of Wisconsin to discuss with them by doing workshops to teach medical students how to think creatively.
Terrific.
That's an alternative form of treatment.
Congratulations. That's outstanding. Thank you for letting us know about that. That's huge. We'll be eager to hear a progress note on how that goes, how your book goes.
I will.
Great. There was someone else who began, and I think I talked over you. Was it Karen?
No, but good morning. Hi, Dave. Nice to be here.
Okay. Nothing like calling you out. What's going on?
Oh, no. It's nice to say hi to you and to everyone else.
Any updates?
Well, I'm doing something actually that I've never done before, and so it's just kind of a personal goal that I'm so excited about. As of today, well, the month of May and the month of June, I'm still completing a class that meets twice a month, and then I have the membership group that meets once a month. I mean, it meets twice a month, and then this one meets once. So I'm still doing 5 days a month. But starting in June 22nd, I'm going to only be teaching one class a month. I'm taking several months off to do some writing and just all of the stuff I've learned from you, integrating it into my work and considering some more online classes, perhaps some pre-recorded products, you know, around training. So, yeah, I'm just, this is a time where I just feel so alive and doing your work last year. There's just so much percolating, and I find it difficult to really write and be creative if I'm also teaching classes or seeing clients. So, yeah, it's just like a dream.
Well, that's terrific. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thing and exciting for you to take that time off and just focus in that way. Excellent.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to hearing when you said, you know, that you'd like me to do something with the group. I'm really excited about hearing about more about that as well. So it'll be a good time for me to do these kinds of things.
Okay, all right, super, thanks. Who was that I heard and talked over a moment ago?
That might have been me, Sharon. I haven't been here
a
while.
Hi, Sharon, how are you doing?
Good.
Bring us up to date.
Well, still working on the dissertation. I can't believe I'm at this point, and what I'm going to say is I am still trying to get my concept paper approved. But it has been really, really hard to get that approved. And I've kind of gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I might just do my business and forget about the dissertation if I can't get it approved because, you know, I know this works.
What's the best option that you have of getting it approved?
Well, last week I you know, so the ball is now in my chairman's court. I sent him an email saying, you know, he didn't like certain things, and I said, well, I put this measure in there because my other committee member specifically wanted this index in there. So, you know, if this is going to prevent me from getting the paper approved, I'm happy to take it out. And I described the evolution of what I wanted to measure and why I couldn't do that. It was a more objective measure because of resources. It costs money and time, and I don't have that. And so I've chosen these more subjective measures. And I said, I think I even phrased it this way. I said, if you have an index that you would like me to use to measure the success of this, it's an online wellness program. I said, I would be delighted to use it. Sincerely yours. And I sent it off. I haven't heard back from him. So either it was too snarky or he's still mulling it over. I have no idea. But it's pretty frustrating. On the positive side, though, I will tell you that I am now substitute teaching at the Mindfulness Center, which was founded by my mentor and the woman who is one of my other committee members. When she's out of town or unable to teach her meditation class, I am always the go-to gal. I step in and do that, and it's been very, very fun. I love teaching. Turns out I'm good at it. People love my class. I've gotten great reviews, and that's why they keep asking me back.
That's great.
Yeah, they keep asking me back, and I'm really good at teaching meditation. And to the psychiatrist who was just on, I'm curious to know if the methodology you're using is related to the self-determination theory, SDT. I've read that that is very powerful in helping in getting people to do what they're supposed to do. It's like somehow make it their idea. You know, they get to determine. Self-determination theory is very powerful.
Let me connect the two of you by email so that you can have a proper discussion about this.
That'd be great.
To do that. So, Audrey and Sharon, look for that so that you'll have that avenue. Sharon, one quick question. Do you have an internal champion on your dissertation committee?
I'm not sure what you mean by internal.
Do you have someone on the committee who you can go to, get information from, and who will represent you in a positive way to the committee? Not the chair necessarily, although I'm not excluding that, but somebody, like when you, we've discussed before, when you work with an organization and you want to present something or do a proposal for an organization, if you have an internal champion, and I got this from Kay McConney, who may be on the call, she's outstanding at doing this and on a world stage and has done this and taught a lot of us in the mastermind group about that. Do you have an internal champion who will go to bat for you, give you information, and represent you in a positive light on the committee?
Actually, I got to choose two of my three committee members, and then the school provides the chairman. So my two other committee members are, well, one is my mentor at the Mindfulness Center, whose classes I substitute teach for.
Okay.
And the other, and she's an associate professor or an adjunct professor at American University.
Wow. Okay.
And the other one is a close friend of mine, who, when we go scuba diving, I'm her diving buddy.
Okay, so that's a resounding yes times two. So that's great.
Yeah.
Utilize them and ask for suggestions about what you need to do and how they might suggest anything about how you proceed, because they'll have a better working knowledge internally of their meetings than you will, because this is something you don't want to give up.
Right, right. I really don't. I'm just really.
I know.
Right. I'm through the stages of grief. Right. There's denial, anger.
No, that's after you. That's after you've lost something. Forget about that. Don't waste your energy on the stages of grief, because you haven't lost anything yet. You just have a hurdle that you need to surmount right now. And try
right.
To dive
right.
Around.
Right.
Yeah. Forget about all that grief stuff. That's just theory.
I wasn't really thinking of it as grief, but it seems to work. There's first the denial of, oh, yeah, it's going to happen, and then there's the anger of, really, I can't believe this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, as long as it keeps you going forward, okay.
Anger's a good motivator for me, yeah.
Anybody else? Who else?
Hi, this is Vanessa.
Welcome. How are you? Welcome to the group for the first time. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. This is the first time I've introduced myself. I've listened to two other calls, but I was in a noisy area, so I didn't want to introduce myself and have a lot of background noise. But, yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me. So I just tell a little bit about myself.
Give us just a quickie about you, yeah.
Sure. So I have a degree in public health, and I've been working in the past few years working with communities, mainly with low-income families in the area of stress management. And I'm just starting my coaching practice with the help of Dr. Kruger. You and I did a couple sessions where you were coaching me. And so I'm going to be starting that up.
On is calling me Dave. Other than that,
yes, Dave. I'll do that. So I'm working on getting that started. But like I said, I've been doing group workshops with communities for a while now. I also teach mindfulness and meditation. But this coaching, the one-on-one coaching, is fairly new to me. So I'm excited to be in this group and learning from everyone who has a bit more experience in that. With the one-on-one stuff, so I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay, super. Welcome, thanks. Jamie, is this a good time you wanted to mention about the ICHWC, the certification for wellness coaches, and to find out who else? You have a question for the group. Let me let you present that. Thanks for doing that.
Can you hear me? Well, thank you.
Can you get a little closer to your microphone?
Yeah, is that better?
Perfect. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, Great. I was just curious, since you'd been kind enough to forward the information about the ICHWC, the National Board exam in the fall, if anyone else from this community is planning to sit for the exam. I was just curious about that.
Hi, this is Audrey. I'm planning on sitting for the exam.
Okay. I just thought, the schools that are included, I guess, in the opportunity for those of us who want to sit for the exam are vast. Some of them are universities. Some of them are private institutions like Dave's. And I was curious if anybody wanted to either get together or just talk, maybe virtually and just support each other, because some schools have, I think, a preparation or support involved in that process, and others are not doing that. So that's essentially why I was asking.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I will
sure.
I will send this as a reminder and a follow-up email to get in contact with you, if that's okay with you, Jamie, because I know there are at least two or three other people in our group who are doing that, and you saw the note that I passed on. This is the Health and Wellness Coaches Certification, and the application period has been extended to May 15th. So
yeah,
that's a possibility if you want to sit for that exam. So thanks for mentioning that. Yeah.
Sure.
Let me also ask for management of background. Your microphone is picking up some kind of movement and happenings in the background there. Katie, all the way from Breaking Bad Country in Albuquerque, Katie Snapp has a group question that she'd like to pose to us for any kind of feedback. Are you ready to do that, Katie?
Sure. I'll do that right
hey,
now.
Welcome.
Can you hear me okay?
You?
Good. I'm good. I'm just here in the beautiful South Desert Southwest.
Yeah.
I wanted to use a little crowdsourcing to get any tips and techniques from any of you out there that do group coaching on the phone like this. I don't do it just by phone, although I think there's an advantage to doing it just by phone because it gets everybody actually on a phone rather than being distracted with phone and video. So here's my question. I have various groups that come to the platform. Usually it's a GoToWebinar platform, and it's an open mic. It's intended to be around either a monthly coaching for performance that's my subscribed a la paid members, and they kind of know how to behave on it. But the others that don't are an open market of women that I target for performance issues like self-confidence, usually around the area of leadership, self-confidence, communication, how to be more empowered, things like that in the leadership and power and influence arenas. And they sign up for these coaching sessions, but then they treat it like a webinar. So they sit and they wait for me to just kind of go into a monologue. So I always have backup. I have backup presentation stuff, which is fine, but it's not the intent of it. So I'd like to hear from anyone if they do market group coaching, and if so, what have they found to be the challenges and the wins? And I, by the way, that's one of the techniques that I do use is starting off with wins and techniques, and ground rules and expectations for people to participate. And it's not a huge group usually that's in the room. It's usually less than, fewer than 10 and often fewer than 5. I think if I had 50 on the group coach calls that there'd be, numbers game, it'd be a lot more people jumping in. But I thought I'd open up that question as to what sort of tips and techniques anyone had for managing group coaching calls.
Do you want us to respond now, Dave?
Yeah,
do we
go,
respond
go
now?
Response
yeah.
to Katie. Go for it.
Okay. Okay, Katie, this is Karen McCall, and that's all I've been doing this past year are these types of trainings. And my groups are a little larger, and I will tell you the issue is the same even if you have more people. I've found, do you have a private Facebook group with these folks so that you are communicating with them daily? or they're communicating amongst each other daily. I found that really, really helpful.
Okay, that's great. I have a subset that's a private Facebook group, but I don't have the larger group in a private Facebook group. So that's worked well.
I have
you.
With each. Yeah, well, what it does is that really, you know, we're only meeting, well, with the one group, two groups, we were meeting twice a month, but this other group we're meeting once a month. And then I would pose questions for discussion. And then when people would respond, I'd say, hey, this is really terrific. Would you be willing that we work with this during our live call? And so that's worked really well. And what I have found is having visuals actually, you know how GoToWebinar will give you stats on people and how they're paying attention or
yeah.
not?
Uh-huh.
I've actually
yep.
found with visuals, I get a higher percentage of people participating than without visuals, because at least it's occupying their screen. And sometimes all I'll have up is just maybe even one visual. But I found that if it's just a telephone, the stats go down dramatically, because then they are reading their emails. You can tell that they're, you know, not paying attention.
Ah, okay.
So those
great
would be,
point.
Those would be two things. And, you know, sometimes the visuals are just kind of an outline of, it's maybe just the agenda. But I will try to have something. And then Facebook, I think those are the main two tips I would give you. And you're welcome.
Okay.
I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks, but you're more than welcome to contact me at financialrecovery.com if you'd like to discuss this in more detail. I'd be very happy to share with you what I'm doing.
Karen, thank you. That's stellar. I so appreciate it. Someone else had jumped in. I'd love to hear whoever that was as well.
Anyone
okay.
Else? One response, Katie, is that, first of all, here's the preface. We can learn from our kids. Whatever behavior you respond to will be enhanced. So you're responding to the silence by filling it in, by giving them information. So they're going to want you to do it for them. Now, what I would suggest is that when you call it group coaching, now, the framework, in my view, of group coaching is a closed group of confidentiality. Your client is the group versus your client being an individual. If you call it group coaching and add an occasional educational component, it changes the framework to an open group, so people come and go. So I would say label it as such, because it's not a coaching group. And the commitment is not to attend regularly. It's an open group where there's the benefit of a webinar or teleseminar, meaning that people sign on for that very reason. As you know, less than for even a scheduled teleseminar, less than half of the people, and for some as little as a third, not just mine but others, don't attend
yeah.
but listen to the recordings. So I think you're mm-hmm. opening it up to make it feasible, even suggestible, that people just listen to the recordings, and meaning that it's going to be easier to just listen to you give wisdom than to actually have to work. So I think the way you frame it does some determination of the expectation and participation.
So if I were to, when I have them sign up, or when someone says I want to come to that coaching session, and it's been in groups of two or three series, like every other week for only two or three. It's not, this particular one I'm having more challenge with is not an ongoing one. It's usually around an educational topic. So Dave, do you think when I initially frame it, if I indeed want it to be, which is what I want. I want it to be just a coaching group where it's Q&A, that I let them know earlier rather than later, this is what this is. This is not the educational piece. And I think I might be missing that. I think maybe they're coming with a different expectation. I'm not debunking their expectations.
I think so, because what you're describing is really a mentor group supervision. Remember, I mentioned that in the letter and described it as such, where you present a challenging case or situation or issue, and ask who was interested in that, and I appreciate the responses that a number of people are interested. But what you're describing is not group coaching, because you may want to preserve that term for actual group coaching, where there's a closed group where it's confidential. People really do work, and it's not open. People don't come and go because they commit, and they're immersed in a very different way as opposed to an educational group. And I would say call it something different, but make the expectations very clear, but especially for you, so that you're not disappointed and you're expecting one thing and they're responding to what they're hearing rather than your expectation, it sounds like to me. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, I do think that. The next question would be, if I think about the last series of three that I had, there were two women that were completely engaged, and more than half of the time, they couldn't unmute their phone because they were at work and they couldn't participate. So then it was like, okay, now I've really set up the wrong expectations, because you can come and listen to others, but there's really only two of you in this particular session that have been active, and then the others just want to listen. So I think I'm not completely off the ground yet with getting enough of a critical mass in that closed group that's confidential. That feels like they can just openly chat, and they come to the table ready to talk.
Yeah, that's a very different framework and set of expectations and level of involvement to do a true coaching group, as it is the more open informational seminar, group supervision, that sort of thing. So I'd just be very clear from the beginning, because you're going to get two different groups of people who can be very interested in what you're doing, and those are not going to overlap. People who want information are not the ones who want to sign up to really talk about personal and sensitive issues, know it's confidential, and know that it's the same group and it's privileged communication, and only that group will have access to the recording if you do record, which you may want to think about if you do or not, because that would also foster somebody not exactly having to be there. So think about the whole framework and what the framework says in terms of setting a mindset of participation and expectation, beginning with yours.
Okay.
That's great.
That's three or four really key critical tips there. So I think that last thing I heard you say is don't record, and I think that's a great thing to set up front, is this is not recorded. Then not only do they know that it's confidential, but they know that they have to be on there live.
If it's a true coaching group.
If it's a true coaching group, yeah.
If it's a more of an open seminar, group supervision, you know, that sort of thing, that's different.
Yeah. Okay.
May I add
anybody
one more
else?
Thing?
Yes.
Yeah. May I add one more thing, Dave? Okay.
Yes.
Another thing that I found that is really helpful is sending a questionnaire right after they sign up. And one of the questions I would ask them is, you know, what was their purpose of signing up? When they look back over a period of time, let's say 6 months, if that's what the course is, what are you hoping to get as a, you know, so that you know this is a success for your investment of time, energy, and money? And that way, I really have a very clear idea of what everyone's expectations are, and I can address that. And then when I do my very first webinar, I go over those and let them know how they would be able to have their needs met in doing that. So the questionnaire I found has been enormously helpful. The larger group I have right now is 60. I haven't done a questionnaire because it is just more kind of freeform. And I'm finding that the information I'm getting in the Facebook group, I'm realizing I'm going to send them. I probably won't do an individual questionnaire for them because I don't want to read 60 of them. But at that point, what I'll do is a MailChimp survey so that I can kind of find out where they are. But I found that was enormously helpful. And so that we're all on the same page. You know, I understand what their needs are, and if their needs are different than what my expectations are that I'm going to do, then I can let them know and perhaps reframe it so that they still want to be there. But, just feel free. You know, contact me, say, like, the third week in May or something.
Okay.
I'd be really happy to spend some time with you. I've had a lot of experience
that,
doing this. And we've done a lot of I track everything, like do they listen to the recordings and which ones, and so I just have a lot of information I'd be so delighted to share with you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, great question and great feedback. Thanks. I want to mention something about the white paper that I think may be of benefit for you to think about in terms of your practice, but I want to first check to be sure that there aren't other questions or things that any of you would like to add or ask in terms of our group. What else? Anything else from anyone? Okay. What brought this into the foreground for me for this group is when I did the some of you, I know Jamie was there, some of you were at the New England ICF workshop that I did. The feedback, the questions and responses that I got more vigorously than any other part of the workshop was doing an exercise based on the last page of that Brain Science of Story about making specific recommendations to a client who you discuss coaching with. And the idea, and you'll notice there's a little typo. My spell check has a Texas accent about the scope of the issues and the struggle. There's three components of a story. The challenge, what is, the struggle, the middle, and the resolution of what can be. Every story, whether it's in film, in novels, every story that's a good story that has some sense of development and completion has those three parts. How would you think about, or do you already use those three story components in the recommendation that you make to a client for your professional services? If you think about every coaching engagement is a story, every coaching session is its own story, no matter how short or long, but the recommendation here is what I want to focus on. And you've each heard me talk about using a model, and you may or may not agree with this, but to think it through for a moment, to use the model of any other professional who makes a recommendation for professional services, a doc, a dentist, a CPA, an attorney, a financial professional. You go, you talk about issues. Now, again, it's a consultancy model, but I'm focusing on the recommendation. You ask and answer some questions, and then the professional makes a recommendation. The recommendation is usually very clear about what work together would be, what it would involve, and what the fee is. That's what I've included under specific recommendations and given an example of how that might sound. After you've
and where is that, Dave? Where is that?
The white paper, the last page of the white paper, under specific recommendations.
Okay.
So that would be a very brief, two or three sentence, succinct conclusion as a professional recommendation, not a, well, what do you think about working together? Do you think it could be beneficial? But a recommendation of what you as a professional recommends after this brief discussion of somebody contacting you for your professional services, and including these components of the recommendation. What are your thoughts about this?
Hi, this is Carol from Utah.
Yeah, hey, welcome. How are you?
Hang on. I'm doing okay. I was reading the white paper. I didn't find it until this morning. But as I was reading it, and I can see so many ways that it can apply to so many other things besides, you know, coaching, which makes it an outstanding to me, it makes an outstanding white paper for so many things. I do like the specific recommendations because it ends on a very strong note.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. That's all. I know that there's a whole lot that's included that I really condensed, but this is what I wanted to get your responses to. Is this the kind of thing? Is this the way you make recommendations to a potential client? And if not, what do you think about this?
Well, I'm still working on potential
clients.
It may
vary, but I'm talking about the format of the three story components. Go ahead. I talked over someone.
No, that's okay. It was me. No, I think it is, for me, yes, I think it's a good recommendation because I need to have an outline so I sound more confident as I'm talking to people and as I'm preparing to work for them or inviting them to work with me.
And as we know now from a compilation of neuroscience studies, what you just said is that confidence has more bearing than expertise or ability. And, of course, that adds to confidence, but confidence is the primary factor. Remember the Wharton School of Business study about whether somebody's going to sign on for your professional services or, in the absence, not. So,
right.
Absolutely, that's over and over validated. So, thanks, yeah. And
Dave, may I make a request? It's Spencer calling.
Hey, Spencer, welcome. Go ahead.
This is my first time at this particular session.
Well, you're doing good.
But, yes, I haven't said anything to you. I get a copy of this white paper.
It was attached, and I noted that it was attached in the announcement about a week ago.
Okay, all right.
It's an attachment.
Thank you.
And I mentioned that it's attached. Maybe I didn't highlight it enough.
That's all right.
And
I'll
Dave,
find it.
What was the subject line? I have saved all of yours. Oh, here's an attachment. It says.
It's there.
Oh,
in the,
okay.
The first mentor group announcement. There will always be either a white paper or a link to a webinar for each mentor group.
Is this the neural conditioning to make changes that last attachment?
No.
It's the brain science of story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other thoughts or questions about this focus specifically? Because I know we need, because of time, to move on to our demo coaching. Any other quick questions or comments? Yes.
Just to say, this is Kay, Canada.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Speaking of internal champions, what are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Doing really well. Loving the way things are going now.
Where
to answer your questions
you right now. Yeah, if you'll.
Pardon me.
In the world,
I am in Canada right now, but I won't be in the next couple weeks.
And where are you headed?
Pardon me.
Where are you headed?
Heading to St. Lucia.
So go ahead.
In fact, I'm trying to get back to get to your seminar in Santa Cruz. So,
all
we're
right,
seeing.
Well,
I'm trying.
After this.
Okay, you had asked the question about challenge, struggle, and resolution, and whether that's the way we tend to put our services forward. I tend to use opportunity, then I use the scope of work, and then I use resolution. So I would say I would recommend, therefore. So I tend to focus, I tend to tell them, you know, given what we've discussed, here's where I see the opportunity for us to work together. So rather than put it as a challenge, I put it as an opportunity. And when you say about what's the struggle, you know, where you develop an understanding about what the scope of the issues are, I simply talk about what's the scope of work that I see it is that we can do together. And then I just say, I would recommend, and that's where the resolution comes. So the answer is yes, I do use the three part, but I flip some of the words, I reframe some of the words.
That's even better. I like that very much. Thank you, Kay. That's
you're welcome.
That's really an excellent recommendation and reframing.
Yeah.
Super. So super. Thank you. Would everyone please mute now for our demo coaching, except Dr. Audrey Pullman and I, who will be doing that, and Jamie, since she instigated this whole thing, has agreed to make some comments at the end, and then we'll open it for discussion, and I'm going to keep it to not over 15 minutes at all because of us needing to have a discussion before the top of the hour. So if everyone would mute except Audrey. Audrey, thank you again for volunteering. I appreciate it.
No problem.
What would you like us to focus on today?
Well, basically what you were just touching on, the specific recommendations, and how do you apply to someone, I guess I should give you a brief history on this this person. He's a actor, successful actor, and he has a hit TV television show. It's going on his third year. And he came to me because he was diagnosed with diabetes. He's afraid that his show may not be picked up for the following year, and he's afraid he may have to file for bankruptcy. And before I could say anything, he came off very negative. He said, I've had 3 different coaches in the last 6 months, and I fired all of them. They want to give me a bunch of homework. They want me to do all everything, and I don't have time. I'm too busy.
I want to ask a couple of clarifying questions. Is the framework that you're doing professional coaching with him not being a psychiatrist?
Right.
Is that clear to him?
Yes, he's aware of the process because he's had 3 professional coaches in the last 6 months, and he fired all 3 of them.
Okay. Specifically, out of everything you mentioned, what would you like us to focus on today in this time?
Well, from coaching, the client is supposed to work with the coach. They're supposed to work together in collaboration. This actor is telling me that he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to do the homework. Basically, he's non-compliant. He doesn't want to do everything. I feel that he wants me to do all the work.
May I interrupt you if it's okay because of time? Well,
sure.
First, I don't hear that to conclude what you do because you haven't given him anything to comply to. So you and he are fashioning it. It's a blank page to start with. Because
but
you
he bring
he
it,
are,
mm-hmm.
are beginning to work together. So you have certain expectations. He does. And you guys haven't gotten together yet to know what those mutually are.
But he's bringing his experience from the previous coaches. And
we all do. Okay, we all do. That's a given. That's when you shrink somebody, they do that. When you coach somebody, they do that. So what would you like to walk away with during this session here in the next few minutes?
Well, he's coming for assistance with financial, health, and career. And I need to learn. He's not helping me to prioritize what he needs help with initially, and I assumed it was health, but he wants me to figure that out. So he's coming to me with a lot of things, economics, career, and
okay.
Health.
So what I would hear is that he needs exactly the parallel process that we just did out of a whole bunch of things that you and he need to focus on something specifically that you collaborate about because you're not giving him homework, but you are helping him focus specifically on a next step to shrink the change from this whole morass of things he's dealing with to what does he do when he hangs up with you or walks out of your office? What's next? So that's not something that he can refuse or not comply with. You and he need to be on the same page about what's the first step. How would he respond to that?
And Dave, I asked him that question, what is the first step? And he said, you tell me. I'm paying you a lot of money, and you tell me.
Okay. Would you like to be him and I'll be you for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, let me ask a framing question here. Have you gotten him to fill out a client information packet or something like that to know the scope of what he wants to get done in coaching?
He refused. He said money is not a concern to him. He doesn't need to do
that. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a framework of what you work on, the client information packet. Oh, yes. So what are his top three things he wants to get done?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Dave. He wants me to figure that out.
No, from the form. What did he, you said?
From the form. He put, I don't know.
Okay. So you want to switch roles for a minute?
Okay.
And you're him and I'm you?
Okay.
Okay. And what am I going to call you? Make up a name.
Mr. Q.
Mr. Q? How about just Q, since we're not going to be talking.
Okay, Q. Okay.
What would you like us to get done in this session today?
I just want you to make my life better.
I'll be happy to help you collaborate in every way possible. Sometimes it's useful to know what the first step is. What aspect of that would you like us to focus on specifically so that we can do that together?
Do you know who I am? Have you watched my TV show?
Let's assume that I have, but I still have the same question, because right now you're in here. It's just me and you. So what's our next step?
I come to you because I need help. I don't have an answer. I don't know.
Okay. I understand that. What's the first area you'd like to focus on to look at what you need to do?
My job. I make $50,000 a week. What if I lose my job?
Okay. What are you looking at to make that not happen? Is that a fear or is that a concern?
It's both. I heard this rumor that my show is not going to be picked up for the following year.
How do you respond to that?
I asked them, where did the rumor come from?
How do you respond inside? Does something like that shift your whole state of mind?
Yes, because it sounds like fear.
And
something that really hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
When
you're in that different state, you're fearful, you don't know how to think about it, and you want somebody just to take it away.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I would suggest that we work on addressing that state of mind and finding a way to not get in that state of mind, but to stay grounded and centered to sustain the success that's brought you here and create a remarkable possibilities and successes in your life. That's something as a next step that you and I could do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tell me specifically, as an example, the last time this happened, of what you responded to, what was the cue, and then how did you react?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, he came off very negative.
No. You're still him. You're
him. Oh, I'm him. I'm sorry.
You're saying character, girl.
Okay. Sorry. Repeat your question.
What was the last time you noticed the state change? What specifically did you respond to? Was it something outside or inside?
Outside. I went to the doctor that day, and my doctor said I was pre-diabetic. One of my closest friends who's on the show with me said that our TV show may not be picked up, and I'm not prepared for that. Financially, I'm not prepared.
Okay. Let's look at the pre-diabetic as well as what happened when you shifted your state of mind. Okay, I want to back away now and talk about this not in demo coaching anymore, but in terms of just a kind of supervision, because this person for you, Audrey, will keep going in circles because there are any number of negative things to think about and negative loops to think about, but these are all altered states of mind. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Anything that triggers a fear is going to put him into a state of mind, and he's going to get totally lost in the content of that altered state, and there's nothing you can do from that altered state that will be a benefit to him except give him some tools to create a mastery of getting grounded center and having a way to approach situations like this. How does that sound to you in terms of what you know about him?
Perfect. Perfect.
Well,
because
they were
too correct. They
do
were
you remember?
Presenting.
Go ahead. Sorry.
He was presenting different altered states of mind with different things.
Uh-huh. And every one of them is going to make sense, and every one of them is going to be internally consistent, and every one of them is going to be impossible because he's asking you to do something. So I'd respond to him. I'd do something. I'd give him an answer. And the answer would be teach him how to regulate his states of mind. Teach him how to use that neuroconditioning chart, for example. Teach him about mastering states of mind. Feel free to send him to that the Master States of Mind webinar on my homepage. And wait a minute. He doesn't want homework. Skip it. Do everything inside your eye. I changed my mind. Never mind that 60 other people are listening to me right now. I changed my mind. Do everything with him. And if you put out homework, you'll have to do it with him right there. And if money's no object, you probably need to meet with him since this is so well entrenched two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I have met with coaching clients two and three times a week. This is somebody I'd say make a recommendation about hearing his issues and saying, I have a way to work on this with no homework, but doing it actively and address it, but we'll need to meet three times a week. Because you're going to have to, within that framework of the time with him, you're going to have to help him get an understanding of state changes and how to get and stay grounded and centered and how to create an optimum response that's different and to do it again and again so that it can become grooved. But that's going to take a little while. I'm not talking about years like therapy. Or now, I'm talking about months. And this is somebody that you'll be working with for several months. This is not a 1 or 2 month deal.
Right.
Now, what do you think in terms of what you know about him and where you are with him about this and this really seizing it and actively responding to his request?
Well, Dave, he came out very negative, and I had to think of something to make him off guard. My response was, did you win the Academy Award? And he laughed. He said, you think I'm that great of actor? He said, you think I'm that great of actor that I won the Academy Award? And I said, on your show, have you directed any episodes? And he said, yes, I'm an excellent writer. And my episode was nominated for an Emmy. So that was he's an excellent writer, but he doesn't want to do any homework.
I want to interrupt you just to bring it close because we're out of time. What you did was a great state change. You got him into a different state. Now, if you can do that with teaching him how to do that himself, right there in the office or on the phone with you about how to move to a different state, that's a good illustration. About that, and if he can be aware of the difference between where he was and where he got to with you and contrast the two, and then you and he can figure out a way for him to replicate that right there with you again and again with a model, with a tool, so that he doesn't have to have somebody coming in with a whole different question or a way of changing your state by surprising him, that he can begin to master that self over and over until there's a new wiring that he creates. I know this is not very much for all that you're dealing with, but I would recommend you watch the webinar on Master States of Mind. Maybe look at that neuroconditioning chart and figure out a way of actively in the office working with him with that and seeing where you get to with that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Your thoughts? I would listen to him. Don't give him any homework. He's not going to do it anyhow. And he's going to use it as a way to oppose, and you need all of his energy here and now. Not in the past, not in future opposition, but right now.
Dave, you really helped me.
Thank you.
I hope so. We'll see. Let's see, and let's do a follow-up. Thank you for agreeing to do this and to share something that's a humongous challenge. I appreciate it.
You are
not out of the woods yet. I promise you. You know, this guy's a pro, literally. Jamie, would you dare comment on this?
Hi, Dave. I was muted. Can you hear me
now? Go ahead. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say except deep appreciation. I think it's a great privilege for all of us to listen to the process. And, you know, I love all the business tips, but I also love the practicum, and I feel like it's a great, great addition. So I hope I'm not the only one that feels this way. But thank you so very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Other comments or questions?
Dave, it's Karen. Can you hear
me? Yes.
Okay. You know, I forget the woman's name who just presented, and thank you very much. And she said one of the first things that he said is, I make $50,000 a week. What if I lose my job? And so, you know, my mind goes like, one of the things that would be helpful to this guy, you know, I don't know if he meets with his financial planner to evaluate, well, what would happen financially if he lost his job? So that was one of the things that, you know, a lot of times people don't even think, well, hey, you know, if they know, what would happen? Well, like, you'd be broke in 1 month because you have no savings or investments, or no, you really would be fine financially. So I just wanted to put that in. As a financial recovery counselor, that's always, you know, kind of where I go, and that's what I heard here.
Okay, if I'm him, and I'm going to switch back now, if I'm him, I'm saying, oh, you really do think I'm going to lose a job. You don't believe me either. You know, maybe I need a financial planner, but I don't think so right now. I need to get unscared because I can't even think straight. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Someone's got to mute. Yeah, no, I would totally hear that. And I, the way I would ask it would be, you know, hey, you know, I'm just curious, what would happen financially? I would probably just ask him back, you know, is that something that, anyway, but I hear you. No, I wouldn't start it out by saying you've got to go to a financial planner, but I would have heard $50,000 a week and what if I lose my job? And I would then say, what would happen financially if you lost your job? You know, I'd probably start asking him a lot of questions. I wouldn't say, oh, go to the financial planner right away, but it would be something that I would be going for.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that input. In my view, that would be staying in the state he's in of fear, and I'm not sure about that, at least in the beginning. Other responses or questions or comments, other points of view?
I have a question.
Yes.
There was a point at which, when you were role-playing, Q was simply not coming up with a suggestion, and you made a coach's suggestion or a coach's request. Well, why don't we consider? And my question is, how do you know it's the right time to make the coach's request? Are there certain cues we need to be looking for that tell us now is the perfect time for a coach's request?
Okay, and that's a great question. My metric of that is he did have a request. He requested, take care of me, take over for me, write my story, And I gave him back the smallest increment of that I possibly could by saying, let's focus on the next step by giving it back to him in making that request. So I'm focusing on the process. And
okay.
My timing is based on, well, you know, either I respond in kind to take care of me, tell me what to do, give me a story, or tell me what to do. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what to do in the best coaching way I possibly can, and that's to give the smallest increment of that back to you to say, let's look at what your next step would be, because I know when I make it, he's going to refuse it. I know that already.
Okay. Okay.
I know that he's gifted. His state of mind is absolutely certain of that because he's scared. And he's saying, tell me what to do. Okay, I'll tell him what to do. Coach, work with me. So that's a great question. And you may, Kay, do you have a different idea about that? We're going to stop and get to that, but I'm interested in your notion of that.
I don't have a different idea. It's interesting. I have made coaching requests, but it's usually at the very end, and it's about something they have to follow up on. I have not been able to do it. You know, in the how you did it so well in the middle of the process, to like the process has come to a stalemate where he kept going, tell me, and he wasn't saying anything. And you then used it to move the process forward, the whole conversation forward in the middle. I've never had to use it that way. I oftentimes used it at the end when I didn't think they had gone deep enough, or I didn't think that they were, you know, that there was extra work they could do to help them get a better insight. So thank you for that. That kind of helps
me. My perception was that it was at the very beginning because in order to do coaching, you have to have a client.
Mm-hmm.
And Audrey didn't have a client yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to convert that ordinary citizen into a coaching client to work together instead of someone who's making a global request of take care of me and money's no object. So I wanted first to convert him into a client.
Okay.
That was my first step.
Oh, okay, thanks. That's help. That's good. That's really good. Because now I'm saying if the person is not putting themselves in the voice of a client, this kind of approach can help to convert him or her to a client.
And from the state of mind he was in, he could not possibly get there.
Okay. Okay.
So something
great point.
Be done to get him in a state of potentially considering collaboration.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. And there are a couple of announcements that I wanted to make, but I know we're out of time. I'll make them in a follow-up email where I send you the link for this and a couple of other announcements to make note of. I hope as many of you as can possibly join me in the Redwoods of California for a three-day retreat, June 9th through 11th. I would welcome seeing you in person. If that's possible, I'll send you some details about that. Thank you all very much. I love this time together. I hope it was helpful.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Dave.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much.
Well,